Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. Thank you, Jason, for getting here way early. I think probably no less than about 45 minutes worth of recounting old Jewel days. And you can only recount those with somebody that's lived through them, that's been branded by them. Some kind of crazy experiences. And we both remembered the various people that, if you're a Jewel person, you worked for Jewel, I guess you would understand.
Yeah, isn't that true?
I think you'd almost have to have that experience. But I was with Jewel Food Stores for 16-plus years. And how many years were you with?
Oh, boy, 12-something 12, years?
Yeah. Wow, just some of the memories. We went down memory lane and mentioned past supervisors and area district managers.
Yeah.
And oh, it was a life that I haven't dug that far back in years. Mm. But Jason ended, like me, a store manager, resident supervisor, where you oversaw the whole operation and all the department heads and many people. In fact, when I retired from the Green Street store, 130-plus employees and managing all that and all their issues. And wow, and there was a lot of craziness back there. Those 30-so years ago. Wow. Oh, wow. I don't know. You've opened up a can that I haven't opened up in a long time.
Me neither.
So, but thank you, God, that He had both of us hardworking people that were proficient and made the company money, and they continued to promote. And I do look back at a lot of things that I learned and disciplines that I put into place and customer service that was like the customer is always first. I was explaining that to Holly the other day, like, oh, that person, you know, we spent this money and they should have. And I said, Holly, the customer is always first. You know, Jewel days, didn't matter what their complaint was or whatever, you tried to resolve them, they're first. And, oh, I don't know. Wow, we've talked a lot. But I want to talk about the radio ministry now, because there's some exciting things happening, some blessings that have occurred of late. In fact, on Monday, Nancy Seward came in to present to the Singing Men of GNN some memorial gifts that were given on behalf of her beloved husband, Leonard. And we've talked about him over the air and his home going a few weeks back, but she wanted to present, you know, the check. Actually, she wanted to just give it to me, the checks. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, why don't you come at 7 o'clock when the Singing Men are here? Because they'd love to see you and talk with you and recount how they loved Leonard and all that. And so she did. And, you know, I got up front right after the opening, you know, remarks that Steve made. And I said, hey, guys, I asked Nancy to come and maybe share a little and, you know, so forth. And so I painted kind of the picture of how powerful the memorial service was. And, you know, I said, hey, Nancy, do you want to say anything to some of the guys? And so it was just powerful moments. Men were teary-eyed. Nancy was teary-eyed. And, it was just, I think, one of those points where God was doing a work in our lives and the importance of the legacy that Leonard left, and just many of the guys shared and were touched by the whole evening and by his memorial service and by Nancy sharing. And so then I said, oh, Nancy, how about we pray for you? And she said, well, wait a minute, I still want to present. And so she said a little more and then handed me an envelope with a number of checks, which was very sweet. And, you know, we all praise God. And then we had a little time of praying over her, and it was, you know, I think guys were getting all choked up, as was Nancy. And just, I think, you know, you experience this a lot with the church. That's kind of the model of how the church should be, where we gather around each other and bless each other and bring hope and conviction and support. And I don't know, it was powerful when Nancy left. We were all just kind of like, it was a moments of just silence. But, you know, thank you, God, for testimonies that people live out their faith and how they can impact groups. And so that was on Monday night. And then Tuesday, I got the clarification with our Yoders 10% donation. They're going to honor it whether it's at breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Oh, wow.
So we're excited.
People can come all day long.
All day long. And so
does that mean you have to be there all day long?
Well, I don't know, because it starts at 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., so that would be like 13-hour day. So I probably won't make the breakfast or lunchtime, but I don't know. Maybe it'll be lunchtime, and I'll run some errands and then come back for the dinner hours. But they're allowing 10% of your total food cost to be donated back to the station, but you have to make sure you let the waitress or waiter or host know that you're here for the Great News Radio fundraiser.
And I didn't even know they did breakfast.
Yeah, they do breakfast. They have a breakfast buffet. Basically, I think it goes till, I don't have my notes in front of me, I think till 10:30.
There's something about that I would think the Amish would do a really great breakfast.
Yeah, well, see, that's, I think Marianne was saying the other day, is like, oh, gosh, breakfast, can you imagine, with the fresh eggs and everything they'd have? And they'll have that buffet style. I think it's breakfast is like, say, 7 to 10, and then the transition for lunch is 10:30, where they transition all the buffets towards a lunch thing. And I think that goes till 10:30 to, like, just say 2-ish, and then it transitions into the dinner till 8 at night. Mm-hmm. So whether you go for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, 10% of your total food costs will be donated to the station. And Yoder's Kitchen in Arthur, they've had our Tootsie Pop display right inside the entrance for like 15 years. And they have our Prime Lifetimes paper stand right in there next to the Tootsie Pop display. So they've just been great to work with. Anna, her and her husband own it now. And she was a waitress there for a number of years. And then there was some transition, and her and her husband prayed it up or thought about it, thought it through. And they took it over and have expanded it. So now they have like a gift shop and additional conference rooms, I mean, where people can have food served and have their meetings. So anyways, put that on your calendar. The next dinner club gathering will be at Yoder's on Tuesday, May 29th, the end of this month. And it's also on page 2 of our Prime Lifetimes paper, a little advertisement about it. But 10%, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner on the 29th. And make sure you tell your hosts that you're here for the Great News Radio Dinner Club gathering. And so excited about that. And then finally, Ivan Parker. Look at this poster. Roger Weisgarver put this together.
Nice.
This is going to be an ad in the newspaper, but he made this up for us. It's saying that Ivan Parker coming to Urbana, Illinois. It'll be a half page. So it'll be a little smaller than this, but it'll be a whole half page ad in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
So he put that together. There's Josh Parker, and there's the Singing Men of GNN. And so we'll be gathering on Saturday, June 9th, so a month away. It's a Saturday night, 7 p.m. concert. But those of you that pay for the $25 meet and greet and reserved seating come at 6 o'clock. But otherwise, it's general open seating with a love offering. Mm. So if you see any of the old posters that talked about a $15 ticket price, it's just open general seating, and there will be a free will offering. But if you want the special meet and greet with some desserts and photo op with Ivan Parker, then it's $25, and you'll have reserved VIP up close and personal artist circle seating.
Whoa.
That's $25, and you can register for that online at greatnewsradio.org, and we'll have wristbands, VIP wristbands, for those of you that will be sitting up front. So that's all happening on Saturday, June 9th, and you can find out more about it at our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. So how? Get you up to date on that. Let's see. 9 minutes into the program. I was reading about being adopted into the family of God. That was a very encouraging devotional reading yesterday.
It's funny because, you know, I went to a thing, when was this? Years ago. And the speaker in this thing said, you know, who in here has been adopted? You know, and a couple people raised their hand. And he, now we need to do some work because all of you have been adopted into the family of God. Mm-hmm. You know, not a family that you that you chose. It chose you. Not a family that you fully understand. And I think, like we talked about on last week's program, a family that's a little bit messy when we look at Matthew chapter 1. A family that looks a lot, you know, the family of God looks a lot like our families that we're in, you know, that they're messy. You got the in-laws and the outlaws, and you got grandpa, and you got crazy aunts and uncles, and you got all these things, but all of them redeemed by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All of them redeemed by Jesus, and by this miraculous thing that God did by coming in the flesh – and becoming like us so that he could touch us. But mm-hmm. At the same time, being absolutely different than we are, absolutely with purpose, sinless by nature. I mean, it's amazing. I was reading in Matthew chapter 1, I got a group of guys that a couple times a week I meet with some guys, and just small groups of guys, and we're going through the Gospels, starting in Matthew. We're going to go through all the Gospels, but it's going to take a long time because we're going very slow.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Well, I like to go because there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to mine. There's a lot to think about. And we spent some time just talking about Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, where it says, you know, this beginning of what I would call, well, I would actually go all the way to the beginning of the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3. That's like the beginning of the adoption process. Mm. You know, where God says, you know, I'm going to bring you into the family. I am going to do that. But, you know, here in Matthew chapter 1, it's as if God goes to court now for the first time and says, you know, hey, I'm getting ready to sign the papers.
I'm going to make it legal.
I'm going to make it legal. I'm going to make it binding by binding Satan in order, you know. But he says, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. And I love that the Bible says this because we need to know that it happened this way. Because what do we always try and do? We always try and change the story. We always try and change the narrative. We always try to adjust. We always want the Bible to say what we think it needs to say. We want Jesus to come in our way. Well, Jesus, meet me here. And Jesus goes, no, you need to meet me here. You know, and so it needs to say, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way, because I need to understand, I need to submit to God's way, that God did it, because he's the one who did all of it. I had nothing to do with it. You know, this wasn't where I'm like, hey, I'd like to be adopted. Hmm. And God goes, no. I chose you before the foundations of the world. I plan to redeem you and bring you into relationship with me. And so it happened in this way, not in any way you could have understood, imagined, or hoped. It happened in this way. And the Bible's so clear to tell us that, to try and to squash all the ways that we want to impose how Christ must have come. Well, you know, I think he was more this than that, or I think he did this instead of this. No, it happened in this way.
That reminds me of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Who did it start with? God.
Exactly.
In the beginning, God, you know, and kind of the same reinforcement that in this way, God, this is the way that God laid it out.
Right. And the thing is that, you know, one of the, we relegate the birth of Jesus just to Christmas. It's the only time we really ever talk about it. And we get to Christmas, there's so much pomp and circumstance that we put into Christmas that I think we really miss what's happening in the story, because it says, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. And this way is actually pretty scandalous. This way is actually pretty, I mean, if you lived it, and one of the things I think it, as Western people we miss is the fact that in an Eastern culture, this story has so much tension, so much problem, so much frustration, so much built into it, that it is, from an Eastern perspective, of an almost impossible situation. I mean, Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, which meant, number one, she was a virgin. We see later on down in verse 23, it says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Because any Jewish girl who was betrothed to be married was expected to be a virgin. Any young Jewish girl was expected to be a virgin. And so it says she was betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be child. Now, by the way, she was found, which means that somebody goes, whoa, wait a second, what's that? What's that? Girlfriend's got a little bump going on. Mm-hmm. Wait a second. She's not married yet. And we have to keep in mind that these are not villages of like a million people, 700,000 people. These are villages of like 50 to 200 people. Yeah. So I grew up in a small town. I grew up near to Chicago, but when I was about 9, we moved to the country. I hated my parents for the first year. I didn't know what they had done to me. Everything closed on Sunday, and you know, at 6 o'clock on Saturday, everything closed, and I was like, what's going on? They had one restaurant, and you know, but I went to this town that was like 700 people, and you couldn't do anything. I mean, you walked across the street, and all of a sudden, it was like people were, you know, like, I just saw them walk across the street. Just want to let you know. I mean, and they knew it. I mean, before I could mess up at school, and before I got home, my parents already knew about it.
Yeah.
We just got a call. It appears today you were running your mouth a little bit. You know, I mean, it was amazing. And so you can just imagine that when Mary was found to be pregnant, it's because people began to talk. And she was betrothed to Joseph. She was given over to be Joseph's. So Joseph, being patriarchal man, Joseph's like, you know, wait a second. I thought you were for me. And obviously you've been now for somebody else.
And when they get to that point of being betrothed, it's almost like they're married, right? I mean, it's like you don't very seldom do you pull out of something like
that. Right. And so, again, from a Western standpoint, we don't understand that when Mary promises herself to Joseph, that's what the betrothal is. She promises herself to Joseph. That's not like I promise until I, you know, break the promise. This is a promise that is meant to be kept. Promises in this time and today should mean more to us than what promises tend to really mean. And so she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So right away, I mean, if you're even 0.1% pessimistic, you're going, oh, the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, total scandalous.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you just imagine like Mary.
I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, Mary, what happened? I don't know. It was the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, right away, and by the way, let's remember that this happens after four to 600 years, roughly, of silence from God in terms of how he spoke to his people and how he engaged his people. And so now, all of a sudden, God shows up after 400 to 600 years, and he shows up in some girl who goes, it was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And everyone's going, what are you talking about exactly?
Scandalous.
Yeah, it's absolutely scandalous. And then the Bible goes on to actually heighten the tension. The Bible doesn't go, okay, well, there's a problem, but now look how we fix it, because God fixes all of our problems. No, immediately it goes, and her husband Joseph being a just man. And just doesn't mean that necessarily that Joseph was just a good man. It meant that Joseph adhered to the law. Joseph was a follower of God, and loved keeping the law. Now, that's important to know right after Mary being betrothed and found to be with child by the Holy Spirit, because the law actually says that if a man came and he raped a woman, then the man is to be killed. If it was consensual, then they're both to be killed. So the law, way back in the first five books of the Bible, lays out what happens if somebody breaks their betrothal, if somebody does this. And so right away, we know that Joseph is an adherent to the law. So Joseph must follow the law, which means that Joseph, by the way, there's no talk about the man, right? And there is no man, because she's going, well, it's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So then the consent is on her end. So now she's the one who should be stoned, like the woman who was caught in adultery. There was no man who was brought. They brought her and they said, Jesus, let's stone her. And so here, Mary should be stoned. And the tension is now on Joseph. The weight is on Joseph because he's a just man. He takes the law seriously. But he was unwilling to put her to shame. He was unwilling. This tells us that Joseph loved God. He loved the law, but he loved Mary. Hmm. And this right here, for all of us, we should go, I know what this looks like. I don't know what it looks like to have a wife or have someone betrothed to me who goes, it was the Holy Spirit. I don't know what that looks like. But I know what it's like to try and love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and try and love people, and it gets real messy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's happening with Joseph here. He loves Mary like crazy and doesn't want her to put her to shame. And he loves God like crazy and wants to do what God wants him to do. And so it says here that he resolves to divorce her quietly. Which, by the way, she was found to be pregnant, which means that this is not a quiet situation. But Joseph wants to take the tension out of it because he loves her. I actually think that Joseph loves God here more than he loves the law. And for some of us, we need to hear that. Joseph loves God more than he loves the law because Joseph is willing to show God's grace and his mercy more than he's willing to follow the rules. Because the law of grace, the law of mercy, the law of love always supersedes the rules. That's why the guys would go to Jesus and they would say, Jesus, why are you healing this sick man on the Sabbath? And Jesus goes, because mercy and grace supersede the rules about the Sabbath.
Yet they trump it. Mm-hmm.
God's love never rests. God's grace never rests.
And I wonder if he also loved Mary because she was a very righteous, loving, kind, compassionate person. So he was probably mixed feelings because he thought, gosh, she betrayed me. You know, how can she, you know,
right.
There's no Holy Spirit has impregnated her, you know. But he probably also is like, gosh, but she's been so wonderful and loving and sweet. He was probably confused and...
Totally confused. So what does he do? He loves God with all his heart, soul, and might. He's a just man. He loves Mary. He wants to divorce her quietly and not put her to shame. And he's stuck in the middle of this thing, and he doesn't know what to do. Ever been there? I have. And you know what's awesome about the Bible? As it says, and as he considered these things, behold, aha, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, which means that in the messy middle, the Lord met him. I get some people sometimes who are like, you know what, I just love God and who cares about people. Or I regard the people who are like, I just love people and who cares about God. And they go, but I'm not hearing from God. You know why? Because God loves to meet us in the messy middle. God loves to meet us in the place where we're loving him and we're loving people. And in the middle, it's really hard and it's really messy. And then he comes by the power of his spirit and he helps us to navigate choppy waters. And that's exactly what he does for Joseph here. See, we read this story at Christmas time like, joy to the world. Oh, my gosh, God came in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Mary, you've been chosen. Oh, let it be as the Lord said it would be. And then she sings the Magnificat. And oh, my gosh, they go to the you know, they go to the nativity scene. And the, you know, the wise men come. Oh, yay. You know, hell, the king has come. Da-da. You know, Christmas time and all that stuff. And we don't preach this story as the grace of God, the mercy of God, and what it means to be stuck in the messy middle between loving God and loving people. Because that's where Joseph is here. Joseph wants to love God with his whole heart and mind, all soul, and he wants to love Mary because God, he believes that God has knitted them together to be together, which God did. And in the middle of that mess, God meets Joseph. He meets him and reveals to him that God's plan is bigger than his. See, Joseph never would have thought that it would have happened this way. That's why the verse begins and said it took place in this way. Because this is not the way you would have thought it would happen. This is not the way I thought it would happen. This is not the way Joseph thought it would happen. And what does God do in the middle of the mess while Joseph doesn't know what to do? God comes and said, this is the way I did it. Behold, Joseph, the son of David, do not fear and take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's called a sideswipe because Joseph never expected that. Mm-hmm. But this is the way that God did it.
And isn't that the way God operates, where you get to the point where, okay, God, unless you show up, unless you do something, it's going to be a disaster.
Exactly.
And in this case, God answers prayer, and he desires to answer your prayer today as long as you pray according to his will and his leading, and he will meet you at that point of need in surprising ways.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite this way, but in surprising ways.
You never know.
Yeah. Well, I think we've dished out some food for thought, and we pray that you'll take it to heart. You'll be in God's Word today. You'll gather with some other like-minded believers and be fortified in your faith journey and be used of God in unique ways. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.